You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay.
WGBW 1590 AM Denmark.
United Auto Workers striking for a third day.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
And auto worker at a plant in Detroit that's still operating and drove to Ohio today to bring pizzas to the striking workers there.
We're trying to fight for all the same things. If I'm fighting there, they're fighting here. It's all the same fight. So come up and support. We're working right now. They're not. So it's a struggle for everyone right now. So just come up and support, you know, the UAW.
An urgent investigation in Southern California. 30-year-old L.A. County Sheriff's Deputy Ryan Klinkenbrumer ambushed and killed as he sat in his car, shot point blank in the driver's seat. No known suspect or motive. Murder charges for the owner of a New York City daycare center and her tenant after police say a one-year-old may have been exposed to fentanyl and died. Three other children are still recovering. Ukraine advancing and claiming it's retaken Klitschkyivka, the next village Kyiv was eyeing in their goal to surround Bakhmut. This is ABC News. An experiment in public transit seems like a hit in one city. ABC's Chuck Sievertson explains.
The experiment is whether public transit systems can take a cue from private rideshare services, Lyft and Uber. The city of Wilson, North Carolina, ended its bus service in 2020. Instead of a fixed route system, Wilson's offering on-demand van trips anywhere in town. You order up a ride with a smartphone app, $1.50 a ride. Even in the pandemic, when transit ridership plummeted in many places in Wilson, North Carolina, it surged 300%. Chuck Sievertson, ABC News.
A deadly crash during an Italian Air Force acrobatic team practice, killing a five-year-old girl on the ground. Italian media reporting that the plane or parts of the plane reportedly struck a car carrying a family. The young girl in the car was killed. Her parents and nine-year-old sibling are reportedly being treated for burns. The pilot was able to eject from that aircraft. This is ABC News.
Civic Media radio stations providing your news, conversations, and fun you won't find anywhere else.
For the Talk of Green Bay News, I'm Pete Schwabe. Here's what Green Bay needs to know.
Green Bay police are asking for your help in finding a driver who hit a 14-year-old pedestrian. The incident happened Wednesday afternoon around 2 o'clock on Green Bay's east side near the intersection of Main and Baird Streets. The victim is expected to be okay. Witnesses say the driver drove off in a black pickup truck with a Mexican flag mounted in the truck bed, and the truck may have front-end damage. Anyone with helpful information is being asked to contact the Green Bay Police Department. A fire destroyed multiple businesses in downtown Pulaski. No one was injured in the fire that started sometime after 3 o'clock yesterday afternoon. As many as 20 fire departments responded and worked together to control the situation, but not before the building eventually collapsed. Fire officials say the fire started from sparks caused when a tree branch fell on power lines. Pete Schwabe for the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW 97.9 News.
The Talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios.
Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
Mino and the Mayor.
What do you think of this team, Brady, with the new quarterback?
It's such a wild card because you go all the way back to Aaron Rodgers. What's been cool about my football experience is I've seen this. Aaron was a good player. Nobody ever expected him to become a first-ballot Hall of Famer, especially under the circumstances of having to replace a Hall of Famer, which is rare.
Weekday mornings from 6 until 8 on the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, and Oshkosh Air Support, WISS, and on the Civic Media app.
Talking to your kids about the dangers of vaping can be hard. Getting them to listen to hot gossip is easy. So here's some drama you could share with your kid. Dude, did you hear about Cassie and Jake? No, but did you hear that vaping can cause irreversible lung damage and nicotine affects brain development? Nuh-uh. You don't need to gossip if you want to have an open conversation about vaping. So if you want to get tips on when and how to talk to your kids, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
You know him as the nose tackle for the green and gold.
1993 to 1999, and again 2001 to 2003.
125 games, 292 tackles, 7 sacks, and a Super Bowl ring. But there's more to life than stats, and there's more to life than football.
You're about to find out.
Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, featuring Packers legend Gilbert Brown.
Monday mornings at 8 on WISS and WGBW and on the Civic Media app.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
The Todd Alba Show.
Two kinds of politicians, those who want to be and those who want to do. Tommy Thompson, John McCain, I would put Tony Evers in this category. They're guys who are running because there were things that they wanted to do.
The Todd Alba Show.
Now contrast that to Hillary Clinton, I would argue, or Donald Trump. Sure, there are things they want to do, but ultimately, they are like Scott Walker. They were people who want to be.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. If you're tired of one-sided conversations and mean-spirited rhetoric, it's time to listen and engage. This is The Rational Revolution, a look at today's issues through a politically purple lens. Now here's your hosts, Chris Elfheim and Emily Cephos.
Hello, hello. Welcome to The Rational Revolution. I am Chris Elfheim. Right next to me is the fabulous, fabulous, stupendous, outstanding.
Stop. You keep flattering me. I'm so glad you're back. I missed that last week.
Emily Cephos, I've missed you too. It's been 2 full weeks.
2 full weeks for you. How was your vacation? Your time away?
Well, I met a dolphin and named him George. He came to visit me every morning. Does everyone have that?
No.
No, seriously.
This is a special bond.
I like animals. I send it up into the universe saying I'd like to see some wildlife.
You like Dr. Doolittle, where they come up and
sure
swim
enough,
next to you?
Big old dolphins.
Stop.
That's right.
No, that's amazing.
No, there were naps. There was wildlife. There was sun. When you go to Florida at this time of the year, there's no children. There's also no adults. It's awesome. It might be the best part of Florida.
No one. Nothing.
We'll take the sunshine. We'll take your pool. I'll take that dolphin and keep the rest.
I love it. I love it. I'm glad you got some time away.
I did. You had a great segment when I was gone. Loved Congressman Rebel. He and I have been chatting and gabbing about politics for probably over a decade, usually over a beer in downtown Green Bay, but
we'll have to do that sometime. That. It was a great conversation, though.
We'll have him back another day.
Definitely.
So what are we going into today? I'm guessing we have a few things we could talk about.
Well, I will admit that it has been hard to keep up with all of the happenings during this session in Madison this week. It has been, I think, nonstop, both Tuesday, they were on the floor, and Thursday, talking about things like childcare, talking about things like Megan Wolf of the Wisconsin Elections Commission, talking about redistricting, which is, oh my goodness, that was a curveball that no one saw coming.
Taxes, they were talking about taxes.
Yes. So a lot to get into. Our main focus for the evening is going to be talking about legislative redistricting. That's a bill that they're in the session right now.
That's the one they just whipped up yesterday, right?
It was announced on Tuesday during the session. There was a spike in traffic online around 3:30 a.m. when it seems as though many, many folks were looking up the Iowa model.
That was just the legislatures.
Yeah, exactly.
What the heck's the Iowa model?
Yeah, and so there was a big spike and they presented it, and it was a surprise press conference that happened after an abrupt end to a session, and they're taking a vote on it tonight. So it was a quick turnaround.
Wow.
Quick, yeah.
Well, and with the numbers in Madison, it's not like there's a secret how the vote's going to turn out.
No.
Seems like it's a party line kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. And I think, like, for me, it was watching this all unfold. I personally was just offended because I was like, do you think that the public, that Wisconsinites are just like not paying attention, or we're like looking through these headlines and we're like, you're the good guys. And I'm going to say, Chris, I told you on the way up here, it's going to be hard for me to see the other side tonight. And so
you're feeling a little blue, are you?
I am. I'm feeling a little blue because I was.
Wait, does that mean I have to lean against it?
It does. It does. Yes.
Fine.
It's like a rumble, a royal rumble. I'm excited.
Well, I tell you, and I listened to a lot of radio in the last couple of days. I actually was down in Madison back and actually a couple of road trips this week. And I will tell you, it smells of desperation. It really does. There's a lot that, you know, I truly try to keep a pretty civilized balanced brain on things, but man, they are just throwing stuff to see if it'll stick on the wall right now. And the more heat they started hearing from the impeachment attempt,
right,
or at least threat, and coming from their own side,
right,
then all of a sudden they throw this up there, but it's not this, it's that, but they're claiming it's this, mm-hmm. you know, that, come on.
I know.
And what exactly are you, oh, and then even for Robin Voss up on to acknowledge, and he did from the podium acknowledge, we're going to have new maps. Well, how come?
Right.
I thought they were perfect.
Right.
Oh, they're not?
Interesting.
Interesting.
And then the story has become, it's something you guys said you wanted this whole time. And that's kind of like they're dragging the Democrats and Governor Evers because they're like, you said the Iowa model was what you wanted. Yeah. And we're giving it to you, yeah, but we're going to look into if we're really getting the Iowa model.
In the end, you know, whatever they draw up, we're going to give them three tries and then we're going to draw our own anyways.
Exactly. Exactly.
No, come on.
Yeah.
I just want them to knock it off. You know, I think this is where people get frustrated with politics. You know, you're doing your best to understand and to believe in what you're hearing. Mm-hmm. And there's so much nonsense. And once it becomes a little bit evident that it's nonsense, they get worse and they get scrambly. And it's just, stop it. Mm-hmm. Can we just acknowledge, you've already put it on record from years ago that the lines were drawn. You know, Congressman Ribble talked about it last week. Right. He was in the room with the horse trading.
Mm-hmm.
There is no secret.
No.
Again, I have given them credit for having kahunas to pull one over a decade ago.
Right.
But now it's time to say, okay, well, that was fun.
Yeah.
And now back it up.
Right. And I think like to respect their constituents enough, you know, to do the right thing. Like I think that this whole thing is supposed to work when you've got an even playing field. And we cannot argue that here in Wisconsin, we've got an even playing field.
One of the friends that I was in Florida with, best of buddies, and we really come from very different parts and perspectives. Mm-hmm. One of them is a true blue conservative Republican, small town, rural Wisconsin, very successful lady. The other one is a New York City true liberal.
Whoa.
Right? Mm-hmm. Also very successful. And the three of us are great friends. We do have conversations. And one of the things that we talk about is that we can have a difference of opinion. We look forward to gaining a different perspective when we have conversations, but we don't always agree.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that I heard, and I know that in the past I have made this statement, you know, when you're in a rural district, when you grow up, when you never really leave a rural area, you don't want Madison and Milwaukee making the decisions for you. That's a very common comment that you'll hear.
Yeah.
Why are Madison and Milwaukee in charge? We don't want that. We don't want that. And I'm a rural Wisconsin lady. I believe that.
Mm-hmm.
Until you actually think it through. And once you think it through, that means that you don't believe that it's a one for one.
Right.
You don't believe that someone that lives in Milwaukee or Madison, that their vote should count as one for one.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's not right.
Right. And that's kind of the congressman actually alluded to that last week when we were discussing. Yeah. And he was saying, like, you know, the urban districts. I'm like, but if we look at statewide races, they're about 50-50 here. Our legislature has not been and currently is not.
Yeah.
And so that's what we're trying to work toward with this redistricting.
There's definitely a flaw with that. And again, it always depends on where you are in life and your perspective. And the biggest challenge that we have is to try and put ourselves in someone else's. Try and look from a different perspective, because I get it. But when you start moving into a different area, you realize that if we didn't have the Madison and the Milwaukee, if we didn't have those cities, the Green Bays, the Appletons, the Oshkosh, if we didn't have those cities pumping in the revenue, who would we be as a state?
Right.
Where's the revenue coming from in the cornfield?
The
crickets.
Yeah.
Crickets, right? I mean, and even if you look at a map, and I understand, again, rural Wisconsin, if you look at the map in terms of the overall vote, you see a lot of red. Mm-hmm. But the corn stalks don't vote.
Right. Land doesn't vote. People do.
Right. Mm-hmm. So we have to understand, we have to be gracious enough to understand the perspective from different areas. But I don't think most rational people would want to be able to say out loud, no, your vote doesn't count because you live next to somebody else.
Right.
That shouldn't count. That's not real.
Mm-hmm.
And so, again, they're difficult conversations, but I think that we need to work through them together. We're going to have... I can't talk to you on the radio. Nobody can see me waving at you. That was a rookie mistake. All right. So we're going to spend plenty of time on that stuff coming in. What else do you want to gab about before we get into her?
Well, I mean, I think that I kind of want to touch on part of the session this week. There were childcare workers that own facilities throughout Wisconsin, or whose facilities have been shuttered because they are running. I think September 30th is when that childcare counts credit runs out.
Right.
And what we're seeing in Madison happening is that instead of pumping that industry with more dollars, as in my opinion, it should be to keep more people working, to keep more kids in those programs, and to keep them able to afford to live. They're lowering the age of childcare workers. That was a proposal. And then they're also increasing ratios.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That sounds like a good idea.
It's like a non-solution to...
Yes. Let's have kids take care of kids. Let's give less education and let's put more kids in the room with the older
safety
kids.
Safety first.
Yeah. Yeah. I would say that here's my response. What would happen if the childcare industry had the lobbying power of the Realtors Association?
Could you imagine?
Or Wisconsin Manufacturing, whatever they are.
Right.
What if they had the power? What if they had the money to put that behind their argument? How would this outcome turn out? What if they could, what if the childcare workers could put in $1 million into a PAC and, you know, help get everybody elected so that they say yes?
But it's not like what we lose when we don't fund that industry is not like quantified. You know, it's not in one bank account.
Right.
It's not one lump sum.
And yet so you we don't do even, it. Yeah. And that's my point. Yeah. You know, every industry that has money is buying what they want because they buy, in essence, the people get in there, they get what they want in terms of strategy, in terms of kickback. You know, on the backside, money is given out all the time. Right. There are subsidies given to developers. There are subsidies given to manufacturing because jobs, all this kind of stuff.
Right.
And the GOP refuses to see childcare as a necessity. They don't see childcare as an industry.
Mm-hmm.
Childcare is a necessity.
Right.
If we do not have the ability to put kids in childcare, we do not have the ability to send people to the workforce. That's the bottom line.
Yep.
And you want more people working.
I know. Trying to be like economically sound in our own state.
Right.
Wouldn't that be nice?
It just doesn't seem that hard. No. This is the part that frustrates me. In a rational conversation, how is it so hard to see that by providing a bump in the childcare industry, we help put more people in the workforce?
I don't know why there's a disconnect.
Doesn't that seem pretty clear? Now, again, we're going to argue, well, we're giving away this, we're giving away that. Yeah, we already are.
Right.
We do that.
And where do you want the hurt to come from?
Unless you want to go back and say, okay, I want the big red button pushed. I want all backside subsidies, all the money that's going out to industry that nobody knows about except the legislatures who kick it through the back door because we're not hearing about it.
Mm-hmm.
Unless you want to hit the big red button and shut all of it off.
Right.
Quit complaining that we have to send some money through the front door.
Right.
Because that's what this is. Why do they not let us send out the proper subsidies through the front door when they're willing to shoot out 10 times more through the back door as long as nobody's looking?
But I feel this is a good way to end it because we've got about a minute left. And I think it's that whole like headline thing. It's like it's the angle. It's the political baseball that's being played. And again, it's depending on an electorate that is not reading past the headlines. And that's why I'm so excited we're going to talk about this redistricting Iowa model, gold standard,
deal.
Blah, blah, blah.
I think that in the end, people are afraid that people are getting something they didn't get.
Right.
And they're more irritated about that than anything else. And at some point in time, you're going to have to get over it. Listen, we are heading into a break. That's the music. I haven't been gone that long. I know what that means. This is Chris Alfheim and Emily Sheffos. We are the Rational Revolution, 97.9 Talk of Green Bay and 98.3 Oshkosh Air Support. Don't forget, get that Civic Media app. It works real well. You can text us. We're here to listen to you.
It's like get you on the backside.
Well, get you on the backside with a guest. Come on back.
Why are interscholastic sports called the last classroom of the day? Because they teach students important life lessons like teamwork, accountability, and perseverance. School sports are so much more than a game. They're about developing the whole person. That's why they're an essential part of every student's education.
Encourage your student to participate in the last classroom of the day. Interscholastic sports in Wisconsin. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Red Delicious, Honey Crisp, Granny Smith. If you have a favorite apple, now is the time to pick it straight from the source. Did you know Wisconsin has more than 300 apple orchards? Travel Wisconsin recently naming its favorites, including the Oneida National Apple Orchard outside Green Bay, Ferguson's Orchards in Eau Claire, and Apple Holler south of Racine. Many provide tons of family fun in the fall, too. Tire swings, lawn bowling, hay rides, and more. Apple experts suggest if you want to pick yours fresh, do it before the end of October. For Civic Media, I'm Terry.
Do you ever get tired of one-sided conversations? Have you changed the station due to mean-spirited rhetoric? Wouldn't it be refreshing to listen and engage in civilized dialogue about politics and how issues affect our families differently? Welcome to the Rational Revolution. I'm Chris Elfheim.
And I'm Emily Sefos. Together, we'll look at today's issues through a politically purple lens. So join us on Thursday evenings from 7 to 8 on WGBW, WISS, and the Civic Media app.
Here's your updated forecast. Partly cloudy tonight with lows around 49. Northerly winds, 5 to 10 miles an hour. Clear skies tomorrow. Highs level off around 66. Lows level off around 51 tomorrow night. Upper 60s Tuesday, turning much warmer Wednesday with highs in the upper 70s and scattered showers possible. Once again, lows level off around 49 tonight. Highs reach 66 tomorrow. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Ray Miller. Right now, it's 66.
Broadcasting from the City Deck Studios on North Washington Street, the talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
Welcome back to the Rational Revolution. My name is Emily Sefos. I am with my friend Chris Elfheim this evening. We are live on WGBW 97.9, WISS 98.3, and the Civic Media app. And we are so excited you're here. Tonight, we're talking legislative redistricting, that assembly bill that I believe any minute now they might be taking a vote on after having been introduced on Tuesday. And we are going to introduce our guest. So this evening, we are thrilled to have with us Linda Biella, who is the president of the League of Women Voters in Appleton Fox Cities. She has been involved with the 8th Congressional District Fair Maps team for several years and was also a League member in Cedar Rapids, Iowa back in 1980 when Iowa's nonpartisan redistricting bill was first passed.
What?
Welcome, Linda, to the program. How are you this evening?
Oh, I'm just fine. Thank you so much.
Yes, thank you so much for being a part of this conversation. We think it's really important. As I'm sure you are very aware, there was that legislative redistricting bill, kind of an about face from the Republican side. And according to what we've seen them put out on Twitter and their social media and other press releases, it is the gold standard Iowa model. I'm going to play for you just a quick kind of clip from Representative Tussler in 83 and then have you kind of respond to it.
Both the legislature and governor can stop the bill, but neither can change the bill. Republicans, the League of Women Voters, and Governor Evers pushed for this bill since our last maps were created. This is a bipartisan win for Wisconsin that will solve a 170-year problem that happens once a decade.
And so we have Representative Tussler, who I think was kind of echoing the talking points we saw across the board from the Republican Party. And I just wanted your thoughts. They do mention the League of Women Voters specifically, and not a lot of people understand the similarities that we're seeing in this bill and what might be different than the Iowa model. So I'm really excited for you to have this conversation with us, and I'll kind of let you take it as a response from the League of Women Voters locally.
Okay, well, thank you so much for this opportunity. Representative Tussler calls it the gold standard Iowa model, but this bill really doesn't meet that gold standard. The problem with the bill is that once the Legislative Reference Bureau draws nonpartisan maps, and the bill stipulates very strict parameters to make sure that those maps are, in fact, nonpartisan, then according to the Wisconsin Constitution, the legislature gets the last say in the redistricting process. So it comes to the legislature for a vote. And in the bill that's currently being debated, the vote would only require a simple majority to reject the maps that were presented, then they would go back to the reference bureau to be redrawn to meet the stipulations that were objected to. They would come back a second time, and if they're voted a second time by a simple majority to be rejected, then the legislature would be able to give, would be given the authority to go ahead and create its own presumably partisan maps. So the fix for this and what has been proposed is to require a 3/4 majority vote in order to reject those maps that were drawn by the Legislative Reference Bureau. So that would ensure that there would be bipartisan support. If the maps were going to be rejected, it would have to be done on a bipartisan basis.
Can you, Linda, can you tell us the difference between that and its fix versus the Iowa model? Because I think in the Iowa model, doesn't it go back to the Supreme Court and the legislation really isn't involved at all?
Yeah, the Iowa model, after 2 negative votes, then the Supreme Court intervenes and takes over the process. That's correct. And in the 40 years that they've had that law in place, they have never had a redistricting case. And I remember very distinctly when that passed in 1980, it was put forth by the Republican governor, Robert Ray was his name, and the Republican legislature as a move towards fiscal responsibility because they had spent so much tax money defending maps in court.
Well, that's different. I mean, I think that you have just stated, and I love the fact that you actually were in
Cedar Rapids
when this all went down. And just so everybody understands where the legal women voters are, you know, just tell us quickly, I don't want to lose the track on this, but tell us the basis. Tell us why the League of Women Voters is involved in this discussion and has been for decades.
Well, the mission of the League of Women Voters, which has existed for over a century, has always been to empower voters and defend democracy. There is nothing more democratic than the idea of one person, one vote. So every single person in a democracy, their vote should count just as much as every other person. And when you have partisanship and gerrymandered maps, it takes away the power of that individual voter, because they're put into districts where their votes don't really matter, where their opinions don't really matter to their elected representatives.
Yeah, and I think it's interesting in recent, I know we don't have a lot of time before we get to the next commercial, but when we come back on the other side, we're going to talk about really the involvement and even the rejection, I think, from the GOP and the involvement of the League of Women Voters. Mm-hmm. I find it interesting that they then reference you in their statement,
right.
Considering they've been, you know, kind of anti, their feeling has been that there's bias going on here. And that's really not the case. Your bias is towards people. Your bias is towards democracy. And when it's out of whack, you stand up and you make a statement. And that's what the League of Women Voters has been doing.
It's always done.
Absolutely. This is going to be great. This is the first of a couple sections we have with our guest, Linda, the president of League of Women Voters of the Appleton Fox Valley, also from Cedar Rapids. You're playing Bobby McGee, my favorite song. This is the Rational Revolution. We have good taste for music. We have great guests. Come on back on the backside. We're having a good time and learning something, too. Come on back.
Just before it rains, they rode us all the way to New Orleans. I pulled my harpoon out of my dirty red bandana. I was playing soft while Bobby sang the blues. Windshield wipers slapping time, I was holding Bobby's hand in mine.
Your home for the Devil's Advocates, weekday afternoons from 4 until 6. The Talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM, WGBW.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. United Auto Workers striking for a third day. Brandy Kelly's a strike captain and auto worker at a plant in Detroit that's still operating and drove to Ohio today to bring pizzas to the striking workers there.
We're trying to fight for all the same things. If I'm fighting there, they're fighting here. It's all the same fight, so come up and support. We're working right now. They're not. So it's a struggle for everyone right now. So to come up and support, you know, the UAW.
An urgent investigation in Southern California. 30-year-old L.A. County Sheriff's Deputy Ryan Klinkenbrumer ambushed and killed as he sat in his car, shot point blank in the driver's seat. No known suspect or motive. Murder charges for the owner of a New York City daycare center and her tenant after police say a one-year-old may have been exposed to fentanyl and died. Three other children are still recovering. Ukraine advancing and claiming it's retaken Klitschkyivka, the next village Kyiv was eyeing in their goal to surround Bakhmut. This is ABC News.
The Talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios.
Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
Spin the globe and pick where you would go this summer at Ho-Chunk Gaming and Koosa. We'll be giving away a vacation of your dreams with our Vacation Your Way promotion. Throughout the month of September, you can earn entries for your chance to be one of 10 lucky winners on September 30th, with one grand prize winner receiving a travel certificate for anywhere your heart desires. Only at Ho-Chunk Gaming and Koosa, your place to play. For complete contest rules, see the Rewards Club booth at Ho-Chunk Gaming and Koosa. Must be 21 or older to participate and enter the casino floor.
Show the world that age is just a number. Ho-Chunk Gaming and Koosa presents the Golden Days for those who are 50 and wiser. Turn up your excitement, because each Tuesday from July to December, you can earn 25 same-day slot points and $10 rewards play. Redeem up to four times. The Golden Days await at Ho-Chunk Gaming and Koosa, where the only thing more exciting than your luck is the fun you'll have. For complete contest rules, see the Rewards Club booth at Ho-Chunk Gaming and Koosa. Must be 21 or older to participate and enter the casino floor.
For the Talk of Green Bay News, I'm Pete Schwabe. Here's what Green Bay needs to know. Planned Parenthood of Wisconsin will resume abortion care services on Monday in Milwaukee and Madison. They're taking appointments starting today. Abortion services have been suspended in Wisconsin since last year's U.S. Supreme Court Dobbs decision. Planned Parenthood's decision is based on a Dane County judge's ruling in July that Wisconsin's 1849 law does not cover voluntary abortions. Green Bay has a new visitor center. Discover Green Bay held a ribbon-cutting ceremony Wednesday morning at the new facility in Ashwaubenon near Lambeau Field. The event was attended by community leaders from the Oneida Nation, the Green Bay Packers, and city officials. Discover Green Bay says the area pulls in over $1 billion a year from about 6 million tourists, and they aim to do even better. The Discovery Center will also celebrate the rich history of Northeast Wisconsin. Pete Schwabe for the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW 97.9 News.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over. Then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
More than 80 million Americans depend on AM radio each month for news, weather, and emergency information. A new bill in Congress would make sure AM radio remains in cars. Because when cell and internet services are down, this free service could be your only lifeline. Text AM to 52886 and tell Congress to support the AM Radio for Every Vehicle Act.
Message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to 4 messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP.
Welcome back to Rational Revolution. It's me again, Emily Sefos, with my friend Chris Alfheim.
Hello.
We are speaking with Linda Biella, who is the president of the League of Women Voters of Appleton Fox Cities, and we're talking about redistricting. I am following Scott Bauer on Twitter right now, and they are debating and potentially putting it back to committee, I believe. that's the argument that they're hoping for, I think, on the Dem side. But we are talking about that Iowa model, which I believe was drawn up on Tuesday, introduced to the legislature on Tuesday afternoon, and is now being debated upon and they're hoping voted on. And we were talking about the shortcomings of what they are touting to be this gold standard of redistricting. And so, Linda, we're excited that you're back with us. I'm wondering, we were talking before the break about the differences in the Iowa model. And I think, and one of the things that we mentioned was the rush nature of things. But there's also, if my understanding is correct, no public hearings, correct? Obviously.
Yeah, there's been no time for public hearings, and the League of Women Voters of Wisconsin did issue a statement yesterday. Mm-hmm. And they, first of all, they applaud the fact that there has been this bill introduced, because this is something that we've been looking for many, many years. Mm-hmm. But it's a good start. But they do mention several things that would improve the bill. For instance, it does not guarantee the full independence of the Legislative Reference Bureau. The bill should prohibit lobbyists, high-level donors, and those hired by legislative leaders from working on the redistricting process. That should be spelled out in the bill. It should provide more transparency throughout the map drawing process, with public hearings occurring all along the way. And finally, there should be a safeguard put in to require a three-quarter bipartisan vote in order to reject the maps once they come to the legislature.
And as a reminder, Linda is the president of the League of Women Voters, who has been active in this fight for years and has also been active in the 8th Congressional District in northeastern Wisconsin. So when it comes to really digging into what this Iowa model has and doesn't have, like, these are the people that we need to be having the conversations with, in order to make sure that we have a clear understanding of what it's lacking.
Yeah, and Linda, if I can chime in, I think that we also have to look at, you know, the whole point of redistricting is to make it so that we can have civilized, accountable conversations in our legislature. And we can't have that without fair maps. And this proposal that they've brought to the table just allows them to continue the status quo of, if you're in the majority, you get what you want. That's not how it's supposed to work. And I appreciate that the League of Women Voters is saying, all right, well, if you're going to go with this bill, at least put three quarters in there. Mm-hmm. Because three quarters is a tougher standard. It's going to make people work together. I think that most of us out here are hearing that people want the government to start working together. Stop with the red and the blue and the wins and the losses and start getting some things done. Do you believe, Linda, that if they adjust this bill to a 75% bill, that we will actually get fair maps in Wisconsin?
Well, that's certainly the hope. there are many people who say that Wisconsin is a naturally divided state between the rural and the urban areas. And, you know, the Republicans have a natural advantage in terms of numbers of districts.
Yeah.
But and you can see that in the statewide election results, where the Democrats win all the statewide elections.
Exactly.
And yet the legislature remains skewed towards the Republicans. So it's pretty obvious that things aren't on a level playing field right now, just looking at the election data. And the free exchange of ideas between the two parties and the bipartisan type of legislation building that has to occur when you have an evenly divided legislature, that produces the best legislation.
Absolutely.
That's really in the interest of all people.
Exactly.
Can I ask, Linda, when the League put out this statement and really offered succinct and concrete changes that they believe will make the bill better, was there any response that you know of from anyone as far as being like, oh, we referenced, you know, like, we're using this because we said that you were proponents of it and you're telling us that it could be better, so yes, we'll take that into consideration. Has there been any talk to your knowledge?
Not that I'm aware of. Mm. I know that when the League issues a statement like this at the state level, that it's forwarded to all the legislators. Mm-hmm. Instantly.
Yeah.
So they should all have that in hand. And it's a very short, you know, a little over one page statement, very easy to read and understand.
Right.
You know, and I appreciate your thoughts in that seeing a bill is good. Acknowledgement that there's a problem has not taken place until this week. Mm-hmm. Now it's a matter of, if we acknowledge there's a problem, let's do it properly. Let's make sure there's a system in play, as Iowa did, obviously, that you can put something in that helps everybody to be, you know, truly understand that we can get back to a democratic model. Even the people in Iowa today came out with comments. The GOP chair down there said this is not the Iowa plan.
there's a huge difference between what they're proposing under the name of the Iowa plan and what it really is. So you guys are validating that legal women voters, the Republicans in Iowa are validating this is not it. We can make it better. And again, first, at least they're acknowledging there's a problem, but obviously they're trying to quickly play offense on the solution. But you can't have everything. You can't maintain the control in the end and then claim you're doing something that's meant to open it up.
Yep, and I will say that I believe. I'm still on the Twitters, and there are representatives that are tweeting that there were 7 amendments just added to this bill tonight for them to read. Like, it just doesn't seem like it's being done in good faith.
Can we get some coffee shipped down to the Capitol? We're going to need some coffee. We're going to need some cookies. Stat. It's going to be a long night.
It is going to be a long night.
I was watching the floor sessions just before I got on the call with you, and, you know, it was obvious that it was going to be a long night for this bill. And if it even goes through, I don't know. But the majority seem to be wanting it to refer it back to committee.
Well, that's the hope for further review, right? So we come up with a better bill.
Yeah, I mean, that's the right thing to do. The question is, do they want to actually do the right thing, send it back, do it properly, and then get some bipartisan support? Or do you want to just, you know, ram your own version of it just to get it vetoed? That's the real answer, the real question, whether they're going to just push it through and then be mad because Evers plays goalie again.
Right.
Or are they going to work with the Democrats, work with the League of Women Voters on the verbiage to make sure it's actually a Democratic policy for the people and then get it passed? Do the right thing.
Right. And I will say, Linda, I know that you're... go ahead.
Do the right thing and not try to set it up so that Governor Evers vetoes a bill and then complain that, you know, that's what they've been asking all along for on the Democratic side,
right?
And we gave it to you and then you vetoed it.
Right.
That's a disingenuous argument that I think we're going to hear if it goes that far.
Yeah. Again, just as a reminder for our listeners, we are talking to Linda Biella. Am I saying your last name correctly?
Yeah, you are.
that's an almost.
it's a tough one. It is a tough one.
Well, it's close enough anyway. We're talking with Linda Biella, who is the president of the League of Women Voters in Appleton, Fox Cities. We're talking about that redistricting bill that's on the floor as we speak, maybe being referred back to committee. I think for me, and I know that you're operating in a nonpartisan way, but I am definitely wearing my blue. Just the whole outfit's blue tonight, I think.
Your nose is blue. Your ears are blue. Your fingers are blue.
Yeah, and I think, like, you make a good point when we're talking about the importance of, like, one person, one vote. Because we saw early, I mean, it seems like forever ago now, but we were talking about nullifying the vote of 1 million Wisconsinites. And now we're setting the Democrats up to look like the bad guys, in my mind, because we're introducing a bill that's like, yay, nonpartisan redistricting. You've been asking for this. We're giving it to you. But there are details, like you mentioned, like if it's rejected twice, it goes to the legislature, which ends us up with the same type of maps we have now. And like we're continuing to disregard like that whole one person, one vote idea that I think like we across the state agree is a good thing.
I think what they're doing right now is kind of like a rope-a-dope. I mean, they're just... Yeah, exactly as Linda described. You know, they're putting something forward that they're selling it as one thing. It's another. It's kind of like a cheap shot on a football field, but they're not going to get caught at it. When the guy swings back, then they're going to point their finger and say, look how bad he is.
Right.
It's just, it's not the way we're supposed to do business.
I'm tired. Are you tired, Linda?
I just want them to knock it off. Just knock it off. Let us go back to getting some things done.
And I have to say, in 2009, the Democrats had an opportunity to pass a bill like this, and they didn't do it because they thought they were going to win in 2010.
That whole 2009,
when they lost, when they lost everything, and the Republicans had a trifecta of government, that's when the gerrymandering started. So shame on the Democrats for not doing the right thing when they had the opportunity to do it.
Right.
I think that
we all want more power when we...
Yeah. I think there's always going to be wish we would have, wish we could have. But the reality is, what's the right thing to do? And I think that right now in this reset mode that I think the public wants, the public wants a big reset button. everything that's been done, everybody's been, both parties been guilty of nonsense.
Right.
You know, whether it's been talked about, whether it's been radio shows about it or not, it doesn't matter. We all know it is. Now knock it off.
Yeah. I was talking to someone and one of the things that my mom that sticks with me that I always think of with politics is she always says, an eye for an eye will leave the whole world blind.
Yeah.
Like, this is exactly it. Like, yeah. we have to stop doing this.
Right. And I think that we have the blue side, and I'll put on a little more purple hat, but the blue side has to kind of mind their manners also, because if their goal is to swing everything back and get the trifecta the other way, well, then you're just as guilty.
Yeah.
That's not where we're supposed to be. And so we have to find a way to create that balance again, put in a set of rules that takes that power grab out of both parties, make both parties work together every 10 years to get a set of maps. I kind of like the 75% thing, because it'd be real hard for anybody to get 75%
mm-hmm.
with a rational truly, set of maps.
Right.
Right? Yeah. So I like that. It's accountability.
Right.
Things happen when we have accountability.
Mm-hmm.
Both
and then
sides.
May the party with the best platform and policies win, like it's supposed to.
And work for it.
Right.
Right.
Exactly.
If you have a great idea and the other side thinks it should be a little different, well, then argue and find a compromise and move forward. Help as many people as you can without beating up on those that are paying for it. That should be our theory here.
Yeah. Linda, I was going to, we're coming up to our next break. But I'm wondering, like, if this should pass, do you go back to the full-on advocacy for this redistrict? Like, does the battle stop here regardless of what happens, or is League dedicated to really seeing this whole thing through in the way that it should be done?
The battle never stops
to
get fair maps, because it is the fundamental issue before all issues. Until we can solve this issue, nothing else can get solved, because there's countless examples of things that the vast majority of the population wants
mm-hmm.
and is not getting because of gerrymandered maps.
Linda, can I ask a question on a little bit off topic, but still very much League of Women Voters?
Sure.
Seems like in recent elections that there is a large portion of our GOP candidate friends that are choosing not to partake in the League of Women Voters forums, which have been done forever. Can you just speak to that a little bit?
Well, we have a strictly nonpartisan stance when it comes to anything that we do regarding voter service, whether it be registering voters, whether it be providing voter information, candidate forums, things like that. So we welcome participation of anybody who wants to participate, and we will be happy to present their information to the voters exactly as they submit it to us. If they choose not to, I think it's only in their disinterest, because more and more we have so much more traffic on our website with people looking at candidate interviews and candidate forums that we've recorded.
Yeah,
That those candidates that don't participate, the voters that they want to reach, they're not seeing their message.
Yep. More knowledge for more people.
Counterproductive.
Definitely. Well, thank you so much, Linda, for joining us this evening. We really appreciate all the work you do. Keep doing it. We'll see you around. We'll be back with the Rational Revolution right after the break.
Thanks Linda.
As an emergency medical technician, I hope motorists can remember these four life-saving words. Buckle up, phones down. It means wear a seatbelt, every seat, every trip. And when driving, stay focused on the road ahead. Protect yourself, spare your family, and emergency responders from needless trauma.
Do your part to help us move towards zero deaths on Wisconsin roads. A safety message, sponsored by the U.S. and Wisconsin DOTs.
If I could be you,
and you could be me,
for just 1 hour.
If you could find a way
to get inside
each other's mind.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out. And for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Mino and the Mayor.
We're talking with Tony Mandrich. You're talking about your alcohol problems. Jim kind of mentioned here during the break. He said, yeah, the coaches didn't do anything about it. I said, didn't do anything about it. They were with the guys.
I mean, nobody forced anybody to drink. Drinking was just part of it. And it was kind of like that stereotype of, you know, being a guy or being an athlete, or it was just part of that.
Mino and the Mayor. Weekday mornings from 6 until 8 on the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, and Oshkosh Air Support, WISS, and on the Civic Media app.
Here's your updated forecast. Lows around 49 tonight under partly cloudy skies. North winds 5 to 10 miles an hour. Highs around 66. Tomorrow, ample sunshine expected. Partly cloudy skies. Tomorrow night, 51. Upper 60s. Tuesday, turning warmer. Wednesday, with highs in the mid-70s and scattered showers possible. Once again, lows level off around 49 tonight. High of 66 tomorrow. Lows level off around 51 tomorrow night. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Ray Miller. Right now, it's 65.
Where the fans own the team. This is the Talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Rational Revolution. Chris Alfheim here with Emily Cephos. We just had a great conversation with Linda from the League of Women Voters talking about the Iowa gold standard and how what was presented might be a little bit of a tin replacement and how there are some suggestions out there from the league would make it better. Absolutely. Yeah. Now the question is whether they're going to take the time and interest and add some of that in so it can become a usable, proper, democratic tool.
Wouldn't that be nice to have fair maps?
Should we hold out hope?
I mean, I always hold out hope because what else do you do?
I'm going to hold out hope because I think, I don't know.
I believe Wisconsinites want us to be represented equally fairly across the board.
Well, we know what the people want. The question is whether with the majority, they're going to utilize that and push it through and be mad if it gets vetoed, or they're actually going to do the work of a committee, do the work and put in all the information and make it better. Take some of these amendments that have been put out there, some suggestions from the outside sources like the league, and make it a bill that actually makes Wisconsin better.
Yeah.
That's what I'm hoping for. I'm hoping.
Fingers crossed.
And then take the win on that. Take the win on doing something for the good of the people and acknowledging the reset is good for all of us.
Yeah. And I will say, like, again, because I've said it before, but I'm going to say it again, I am tired of the disillusionment that voters get just when you're reading the headlines, because they know how to do the messaging. The spin room exists.
Oh yeah.
And to be able to say, well, we had these people, Governor Evers, you said that you supported these and now you're not, like, what's your problem? But really, they're depending on the electorate again, not to look into those details like Linda just mentioned.
Remember that movie, The Help?
Yeah.
Remember that chocolate pie?
Yep.
It wasn't chocolate.
Yeah. That's a great movie. Yeah.
Not chocolate. It was not a chocolate pie.
Yeah. We just got a text, and we're getting a couple texts this evening, and one of them is from my husband. Thank you for participating.
We love you, Nick.
But the latest says the best first step toward bridging the division in red and blue is to go back to totally open primaries, not open partisan primaries. That allows me and you to vote for the most qualified person on either side. Get the best people on the ballot. Go from there.
Oh, we could add, we're going to add in ranked choice,
ooh,
a ranked choice voting conversation here in the near future.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
I love that.
You know, ranked choice with money still involved means the loudest voice wins. So we'll challenge that a little bit, but I like it. Mm-hmm. I like the idea. We'll come back to that one.
Yep, definitely. Well, one of the things that I wanted to mention, because again, like I said, they're in session for the long haul this evening. It looks as though the Republicans voted to fire Megan Wolf. She's been in the news for a long, long, long time. And now there is a legal battle ensuing. I think that Governor Evers called on Attorney General Josh Call to represent her. Excuse me. On whether that's even legal in the first place. So again, we're playing this like sham ruse kind of game.
Wasn't there something
and it's operating on like conspiracy, like these are, it makes me so sad because our poll workers, our election workers,
I know,
are upholding this integrity, and things are, you know, like to operate in a world that is just not based in anything factual, and then to do irreparable harm to the stellar job that our election officials are doing, and to be outright attacking Megan Wolf, like, it's beyond the pale for me.
I'm so tired. I'm so tired.
So tired. I'm so tired of this nonsense. I can't stand it any longer.
I like the accents. Did you pick that up in Florida?
It's just crazy.
It is.
The world is mad. First, this is a human being at the end of this title.
Right.
You know, we, all of us out here, it's like, well, she's the person in charge of elections. Her name is Megan. And 50% of the planet or the state apparently doesn't like their job she's done, and the other 50 does. Okay, well, never mind. You were about to drag this woman's name through the mud for what? You have no factual evidence that she has not. In fact, nationally, she's recognized for the quality job she's done.
Right.
What are you doing?
I don't know.
What are you doing? Okay, next.
All right, so that's one. Number two. I think that we've got the Senate voted 30-1 to allow new mothers on Medicaid to receive benefits for a year after they give birth rather than the current 60 days. And the only one to vote against it was Dewey Strobel. It's just a random factoid.
Okay, I don't know. Let's just let Dewey go. I mean, just let it go, Dewey. Just let it go. But I do think that I read not that long ago that, you know, even though this is being celebrated, but pretty much the rest of the planet is 18 months or more.
Yeah, there's that. Like, we're already...
So, okay. Okay, good job.
But also not good enough.
But also, come on.
Yeah. Yeah, I would agree. And let's see what else there is. We've got, I mean, I feel like it's, well, we can talk about Protus Awitz because why not? So we had, I just want to make it clear to our listeners that last week was the GOP bomb drop about potential impeachment of Janet Protus Awitz, essentially nullifying the vote of 1 million Wisconsinites when she had done nothing legally wrong to warrant any sort of impeachment. She is following the rules as far as recusal is concerned. Mm. But we've pivoted. So like, that's the whole thing, right? And I can end on this. They started with that and then they pivoted this week because that wasn't playing well.
Do you smell that?
Is it more desperation?
I think so.
Yeah, it stinks of desperation.
So. Here's what I'm going to say on the Janet thing.
Yeah.
So I did not get all racked up about the impeachment thing. As I know some people get.
I tend to take deep breaths first.
But here's what I would say about that. At one point in time, are we going to acknowledge that when our Supreme Court candidates run, they run on the fact that they won't answer any questions? This is on the national level and the state level for years, for decades. When you ask a question before they're confirmed, how would you feel? How do you feel that? They don't say anything. It is impossible for anyone not to have a bias.
That's what.
Everyone has thoughts. Everybody has feelings. Why is it not okay for someone to say, you know what? I'm not a fan of this, but my job is to do
uphold
this.
Uphold the law.
My job is to read the thing. Yeah. And that's what she did. It's right. The most truthful thing a court candidate has done, in my opinion, on a national or state level thing in a long time. And they threatened to impeach her.
And they had Alito and Scalia both saying from like whiles ago, but saying that it is not... A lack of a bias does not show that you are unbiased. It shows that you are not qualified for this position.
Right. Like, they would rather you be unaware. They would rather run commercials all day long showing pictures of who they want you to think they are.
Yeah.
And then blindly go to the polls and hit a button for the better looking one, I think, or something. But the last thing they'd want to know is to have you know what they think.
Yeah. We have to end there. But what are we talking about? Or who are we talking with next week?
Oh, next week, a couple things. So next week we have former Congressman Reed Ribble is going to be back on with us next week.
Yes.
Looking forward to that, all things political. The following week, by the way, 9/28, we're going to have Pam Yonke of the Midwest Farm Report. Get a little ag
farm
coming
bill.
In. I love me it. Some farm time.
Yes.
This has been a great time. Again, we are the Rational Revolution, 97.9, the Talk of Green Bay, and 98.3 Oshkosh Air Support. You know you love us. We miss you. We love you. Come on back next week. We have a good time. Hope you're having fun with us.
See ya.
Bye.
I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here. I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby.
You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe, and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Yeah. Todd Albo would normally be sharing his dulcet tones with us, but you'll recall that last week, Todd was having issues with the cable company, with an internet connection. I'm now thinking, Todd Albo, did you break Spectrum? Are you responsible for this ESPN mess?
I seem to broke everything else, so it wouldn't surprise me, no.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow, weekday mornings 6 till 8, on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay. WGBW 1590 AM Denmark. W250 CV Green Bay. And always streaming on the Civic Media app. ABC.